Got a different episode for y'all today. I met William Wally through a mutual friend who was also a previous podcast guest and learned more about him on a call a few months ago. And I gotta say, William is the embodiment of good old boy. From the deep south here in the U.S., he's fashioned himself into an amazing storyteller, painting pictures of his life and lessons learned in a way that you can apply to yours right away. Since our last call, of course, a lot's happened in the world regarding COVID and political strife, but he keeps plugging away, living life on his terms. This episode inspired me to maybe come up with another type of podcast along these same lines. I think you'll appreciate his easy style and willingness to share what he's learned. If you'd like to hear more of him, he's got his own podcast as well called World of Wally and a Facebook page of the same name. Find his personal page on Facebook by looking for, as he describes, a bald-headed Bruce Willis-looking guy. There's some key wisdom in today's episode for you, whether you're an entrepreneur or not. So listen in and see how it applies. Let's get going. Definitely, I'm excited to chat with you again. And I remember last time we talked, it was just you and me, and we were figuring out, hey, you know, let's do this podcast. And the decision was yes, but I just found you to be a good old boy, you know, and you know, learn about.
Yeah. I don't know the other way.
Yeah, but I mean, just kind of hearing your story and what you've got going on. So, what are you up to these days? I mean, last time we talked, I think it was like middle of summer or something like that, and COVID was a thing.
COVID never affected. Well, it affected me because I actually had it. Matter of fact, everybody in my family at one point had it.
Oh.
And so, like I said, for example, this past weekend, Saturday, in the midst of all this that we just talked about, we actually squeezed Christmas in at my mother's, which should have happened back on Christmas Eve, and it happened, you know, MLK weekend, because my mom and my brother and his wife and children had COVID, and they were in the protocol, you know, the quarantine protocol type deal. So it's been crazy, man. It's, I don't know. I'm an essential worker, I've been told. I had to keep going to work. I didn't realize that essential meant that I had bills to pay and you had to go to work. I thought everybody was essential when it came to that. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've just been staying busy working and like I said, trying to figure out the best model to follow, you know, when it comes to this podcast. And so I continue to tweak a lot of the things. It's starting to work a lot smoother. I was really fortunate. I was featured on a website called podmatch.com. I made it into their top 10 for the year, so that helped a lot. When that came out, I had people that started actively seeking me out, you know, to come on the show at that point. So
yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
That's the one thing I did right.
Hey, man, even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. You know, I know that you've got that spirit of, well, try it, see what happens and learn from it. So it's pretty cool. What kinds of podcasts have you been on lately? Can you share?
Well, let's see. Podcasts I've been on. I was we have a mutual friend, Mark Kumar. I was actually featured on his podcast. I had an outstanding, just a fun time with him. I was super excited to get the opportunity to come on your show because he had told me, man, I got this guy, you know, he's got a podcast himself, and I think you and him will get along great. And like I said, you know, from our initial interactions, I was super excited. I was a little bummed out when you said you'd double booked me and we were going to have to reschedule. Like, man, the guys don't forget all about me at this point. I've also I've been on quite a variety of shows. Like I went on a show called Moments of Grace. It's now I consider him a friend of mine because we've gotten to know each other really well. A gentleman named Dr. Jerome Butler from South Carolina.
Yeah.
And just we got a chance to talk about, you know, our faith and the world, the state it's in, and all that kind of stuff. So it was kind of an awesome departure to where I could kind of let my guard down and not be, you know, so protected of what you say. Because, you know, certain things you say easily offend people this day and time. So he and I were able to talk about that and you know, kind of the trials that you go through as a podcaster, the things to do and the things not to do. He and I agreed that neither one of us knew what we were doing. We were just sort of winging it. let the chips fall where they may. I've also I was initially I was featured on the very first podcast this year, this past year now, that I was featured on was a show called One Non-Blonde. A young lady named Kim Pegzinski from down in Florida. And I love to go back and listen to that one because I don't know who was more nervous, me or her. And I definitely go back and listen to that very first conversation I had on somebody else's show and go, man, I sound like a 12-year-old kid hiding in the closet. It was horrible. So, but she told me what a fantastic job I did, which that helped a lot. So.
Yeah.
And like I said, I've just had an opportunity to. I've jumped on a couple of New York shows that were. One was a sports related show where I shared a few stories about some of my past employment because I used to work in this event staffing and security business. So he and I had an awesome conversation about that. I got a chance to share some wild stories, and then another gentleman called Jim. I don't remember Jim's last name now. But anyway, he has a show called Too Many Podcast. Mm-hmm. And he and I shared a few stories on that. And we also talked about, the trials and tribulations of trying to put on a podcast. And he and I agreed that we probably didn't do nearly enough research before we got started in this podcast world. So I told him, and I've shared this with everybody, podcasting was always a bucket list kind of deal for me. I wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. And I had kind of had a concept in my mind of how I wanted to do it. I wanted it to be a Joe Rogan-esque type feel to it, with a lot of different topics being covered. I didn't want to get real niche specific. That works for a lot of people, but it works for a lot of people in bigger markets. And I come from a place that's, like I broadcast out of a place that's probably the size of the neighborhood you live in. I mean, that's how big of a place I work out of. In my whole entire county that I live in probably doesn't have 16,000-17,000 people.
Oh, wow.
And I've talked to people on my podcast that have neighborhoods that big. So I'm just being real about it. I don't try to be I was asked during one of the interviews, I don't remember when it was, and I actually kind of echoed that same sentiment later in one of my own episodes as I was talking with a gentleman on my show, that I don't try to be something I'm not. Look, I'm never going to be that smooth, polished personality type that you see on a big network or something. I'm just the guy. I was born and raised in the Deep South. I don't know anything besides that. I have had the opportunity to travel some, but I'm not a world traveler by any means. Mm-hmm. I had a lady one time, we were doing an audio only. She couldn't Zoom with me for whatever reason. So it was just a telephone, standard style telephone interview. And as we got near the end, as we finished, I signed off, she stayed on, we talked for a few minutes. She said, I sure wish we had videos so I could see what you look like. So I told her, I said, I tell you what, here's what I'll do. I'm going to paint you a visual image of what I look like. She goes, oh, okay. And she got all excited. And I said, picture Bruce Willis. And she goes, oh, I love Bruce Willis. I said, I do too. I said, but I'm not him. I'm Bruce Willis on Prozac. and it took her just a second. And she's like, wait, Bruce Willis on Prozac? Wait a minute. I said, yeah, that's me. That's why audio works better for me. Another guy, he said, man, I'll tell you what, you're just good old country. That's what he says. You're just good old country. I said, well, you're right. I said, I am old and I am country. That's for sure. I don't know any other way. And I said, I can't change because I don't know any country. And when I affectionately refer to myself in a lot of conversations I have with people, either on air or off, I tell them I am deep fried and double wide for a reason. That's the way I was born. That's the way I was raised. So.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness, man! Yeah, I've missed talking with you.
Yeah, you have permission to use that in the description if you like.
I have. I'm like, man, it's been too long. I probably should have, like, just reached out and been like, I haven't laughed this hard in a while, man. This is.
I know how important you are. Mark already warned me that you're an important guy. You're super busy, and to get an opportunity to be on your show I should be thanking my lucky stars there.
Hey, Mark's an awesome guy too. I mean, I had him on. I actually had him on one time, and then I was talking with my business partner Alex about our episode, and he said, "You know what? You need to ask him this question." So I asked him, and I said, "Hey, do you think we could talk about it?" And he said, "Sure." And in exchange for that, I put the second episode first, and I was like, "This is gonna sound weird, but this is the second time I've talked with this guy, but it's the first time you've heard him." But the episode went really good. But he's an awesome dude. He has a gift, just like you do. You have that gift of making people feel really special with your storytelling. So,
well, I tell you what, the next time you talk to Mark, tell him to go pull up his numbers. And on, I think it was the one I was featured on was called Simple Podcast Cloud or something like that. I know he's got a couple of projects going on. I think it was Simple Podcast Cloud. I said, tell him to go back and check his numbers and see who put up the spot for him. Now and then, I'm on YouTube and I check that kind of stuff out. I'm not bragging because I'm not any good at it. Well, actually, I'm really good at it, but you don't want to hear about it. tell him to pull up that number and see how many views I generated in comparison to some of his other guests. Just saying. It's something about good old boys from the deep south. I don't know what it is.
There's just something alluring about it. And when I was growing up, my dad was raised in Southeast Missouri. He grew up in Malden, and you know, I'm up here in St. Louis. So it's like, oh, it's city life. Right. And then we go down to Malden. It's like, yeah, it's like, hey, it's a small city, but it's a city. It counts. And going down there, like we'd go down there two or three times a year. And it was always just, it was just fun. It was relaxed. And I mean, I was a kid, so, you know, but it was relaxed, man. We drank out of jelly jars. We get the jelly jars and you clean them out, and then they're like real thick glass, and that's what we drank out of. And we ate a heck of a lot of jelly, but that brings back memories, man. That's like nostalgic. The accent is nostalgic for me, because I'm like, everybody just sounds like that. I started picking up the accent myself. I brought it back to St. Louis with me for a bit, and I had somebody pull my mom aside, and we're like, why does your son have an accent? Oh, he's been hanging around his cousins too much, so that's why.
I get a lot of comments, especially on like on reviews of the show, where the accent is brought up, and I've had people on the actual show while we were talking say, man, I love that accent. I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you. I've had it my whole life.
Yeah, for you, it's not an accent for you, because it's like,
I said, I don't hear it. I guess, and sometimes I catch myself kind of exaggerating it just to prove a point. I can't, I was on a show for a guy in New York and or New Jersey, and he said, hey, man, give me some Jersey accent. I said, man, I couldn't give you Jersey accent if you were paying me to do it. I said, I hear it. I mean, I hear you talking, but there's no way I can duplicate that. And he goes, well, you know what, brother? I couldn't duplicate yours either. I said, well, that's what makes us all unique. Hey, you said you're out of St. Louis. Here's a funny story for you. The only time I guess I ever went to St. Louis except traveling through it, I spent a week right after I graduated high school, and this was back, stone ages. I'm talking about like 1987. Mm-hmm. I had an aunt that was working in the insurance industry, and she was living in St. Louis at that time. So she had this bright idea that I would drive her sister, my other aunt, up there, and we'd spend a week, and she'd show me around. And I had a fantastic time. St. Louis is an amazing city. So anybody that gets a chance to visit needs to visit. But all I remember is it was like the middle of June, and I want to say it was maybe 10 to 20 degrees cooler than the face of the sun the week I was up there. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure. I think the coolest day we experienced, the high was like 99 degrees. Like, I want to say one day it was like 111 or something like that. And, you know, we were at all that. The one thing I will say, you guys have no grass and no trees. What's up with that?
We kill it. It just, the weather does not play nice, and it can't decide. I mean, the joke around here is, if you don't like the weather, wait 30 minutes, it'll change. But,
well, that's the same way down here. But I mean, it was the face of the sun hot in St. Louis. So,
I believe it.
Curious why y'all had no grass. I found one tree just outside of Busch Stadium, I got so excited. I went and stood under it so it would only be 95 degrees and not 105 degrees. And then to find out it was fake. It was a plastic tree.
But did it help? I mean.
it took a couple of degrees off, but not much.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, back then I was in pretty decent shape. I mean, I wasn't like I am now. I'm in shape now. I mean, I'm a perfect sphere. But back then, I was shaped more like a human being.
Oh, man.
I was miserably hot. Like, I was an athlete back then, and I was miserably hot.
Yeah. Well, it's not that dry heat either. It is so terribly humid in the summer. It's like, oh, my goodness. Right. Now, if it was out west, Arizona, 110, be like, no big. But
well, I try to explain to people that there's a difference between hot in the South and hot everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Hot in the South is you wear the, when that term wear the weather, you literally wear the weather in the deep South. There's no way around it. You know, I heard a comedian one time say he was from Georgia. He was from the southern part of Georgia. He said, you know, it's a good day when you don't have to change your shirt but twice.
I believe it. You know what? It reminds me of something I saw not too long ago. There was, there's a Southern comedy, and I saw them on TikTok, but it was getting to be September, and this lady was in her house, and she was decorating because, oh, it's autumn, it's fall. Oh, it's going to be so exciting. And she had her long sleeve turtleneck and her vest on, and she had all the nutmeg and spices and all the leaves and pumpkins and things. And she made herself some apple cider, and she opened the door to go outside, and she looks out there, and her neighbor is standing on the sidewalk in front of her house, looking at her like she's just crazy. He's just got sweat dripping down the front of him, and he's out there in a tank top. And then it goes back to her, and as soon as it goes back to her, it's just like, boom, that's when the humidity hit. Her hair was just falling down, dripping, and she just had this look on her face. And I'm like, that is the South. That is definitely the South. So, well, you know, this is one of the times when I wish that I had started this podcast off and said, you know, it's going to be an hour. You know, people are going to listen to this. It's going to be an hour. It's only a half hour. So I might have to have you on to share some more stories. But I'd love to hear just, I guess, a summary, you know, from the time you were growing up until like now. Are there some notable times in your life when you realized this is what's putting me on my path? Do you have any examples of that, I guess?
From my earliest memories, I mean, I was a real Tom Cruise type back in the day, back in school. Actually, no, that's a lie. I can't tell this story. I was not a Tom Cruise type. I was a kid that was, I had acquaintances, didn't really have friends in school. I was just one of those goofy kids that nobody ever, you know, hung out with. If it wasn't for athletics, to be honest with you, I would have not even been known in school. Like, I played football and baseball and all that kind of stuff in high school. I mean, in junior high and high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I attended a private school, not a big place. So everybody kind of knew everybody. We kind of started off in kindergarten and kind of rolled up through about the eighth or ninth grade, all of us together. But then I made this drastic change. I'm like, look, I'm going to change schools. I'm going to change the look. I'm going to change my outlook. And I thought I'd be able to do that by doing all those changes. And it helped for a while. You know, I kind of got lost in the moment and, you know, changed the appearance and changed schools. And not a lot of the kids there knew me. And I was the new kid on the block. And, you know, there was that curiosity about me. And I was just eating that stuff up. I mean, that's where the whole self-confidence, you know, situation kind of exploded. You know, I went from being not real confident about anything I did to being, you know, probably overly confident. I probably said and did a lot of things back then just out of pure stupidity. I didn't realize. I'm like, oh, God. I look back on those days and go, man, thank goodness the Lord brought me through that, because I did some stuff that should have killed me and quite a few other people. But then as I was able to move on into, you know, to college and into adulthood, I got married, you know, really young, or not as young as a lot of my buddies. A lot of my buddies, you know, were, the girlfriend was pregnant and they were married at, you know, 17, 18 years old. I actually was almost, I got married, I turned 21 in December and got married the following February. So see, I was an old guy by the time I got married amongst my peers. And that helped the whole growing up process. That's when I realized I had to be an adult. And I tell people all the time, adulting is hard. I know for a fact. I tried it. It's adulting sucked when I first started.
Yeah.
But then it's just the confidence never went away. I just felt like I could accomplish anything I set my mind to. That's why something like podcasting was a bucket list thing for me, because I thought, you know what, I can do this. You know, I hear people all the time. That's like Joe Rogan. I used to listen to Joe Rogan back before podcasting was podcasting. It was just him talking.
Yeah.
It wasn't defined at that point. And I said, you know what, I could do that. I don't know if I can do it at that level, but I can do it. So a lot of things, I'm a swing and miss kind of guy. I love to swing for fences, and I miss a lot. But sometimes I put it in the upper deck every now and then. I made a lot of mistakes coming up, and I've learned from all those mistakes. They're not mistakes if you learn from them. That's what I tell people all the time. If you do something and you fail at it, if you learn from that process, it's not a failure. That's just a step in the process of success. I tell people that all the time.
Yep.
If you put your mind to something and it is something that is ethical and good, and it is not for your own self-gratification, if it's to help somebody or something progress, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep that mindset, you'll be successful no matter what you do. No matter. That's like my little podcast. Zero research, zero preparation, zero promotion. I did everything wrong. Everything. I had this concept that's like, you know, it's right around Christmas time of, I guess it'd be 2019 now. And I'm like, you know, I'm gonna do this. My 50th birthday was coming up on the 30th of December.
Mm-hmm.
So about a week before my birthday, I said, you know what? I'm not getting any younger. If I'm gonna do this, let's do it. So I started, you know, jumped on the internet. How do you start a podcast? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, do this. Okay, I found a host site. All right, here we go. We're going. Probably should have promoted it. Probably should have done a little pre-promotion. No, just jumped right in there. Just started rambling and recording it. And my problem was, is I had a really solid plan. The plan was I'd done quite a few things, you know, especially from a vocational standpoint, that I had material. Like, I could have told stories from stuff that had gone on with me over the last 20 years that would have filled up libraries of audio. I mean, I could have just filled up the Library of Congress with material. That wasn't the problem. The problem was, is I had no real structure or plan to it. I just sort of, as they say down here where I come from, I just threw it against the wall and hope it stuck.
Yeah.
So I hurled it at the wall, and I'll never forget, I was actually listening to another podcast called it's Danica Patrick. I can't remember what the name of her podcast is. It's something really professional sounding, not like mine, but it was really professional sounding.
Mm-hmm.
And she had on, I'm a huge Green Bay Packers fan, and I've had the opportunity through my travels and through my work experiences to meet I had had the opportunity to meet every starting quarterback at the Green Bay Packers, except that were still alive, except Len Dickey. That's the only one I've not had an opportunity to meet. I'd had a chance to meet Bart Starr and Brett Favre and, you know, Aaron Rodgers and all that. And I thought, man, fantastic. That, because he actually was on her show. They were dating at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about his issue with faith. Like, he was kind of questioning his faith. And I said, you know what? I had an opportunity to talk to this guy in person for a couple of hours. And if I'd have known that, I would have done my very best to try to help him through that situation. That sounds like a fantastic idea for a podcast episode. That's what I'm going to start with. And
yeah.
I did. I sat down and I spilled my guts out about what I should have done. And that was episode one. And I'll never forget, it dropped on January the 27th. So, I mean, I got a one-year anniversary coming up, which blows my mind that I'm about to be a one-year into this.
Yeah.
And that was episode one. And I'm not 100% sure. I probably got 100 episodes together. I think I'm sitting at about I know I haven't reached 80 episodes yet. I think I'm at about episode 77 or 78 now. So,
yeah.
So, and here was the problem. All these stories, all this head full of just ramblings that I was going to be able to put down for the world to hear, you know, my contribution to the planet. Somewhere in the middle, kind of more. I actually started doing a little bit more Joe Rogan type, where I was bringing in a lot of different types of people to talk to. And that's kind of the direction the podcast headed. Now, I did get in trouble with some of my regular listeners, some of my, what I call my organic crew. Mm-hmm. They were reaching out to me on social media and like, look, I loved your stories you were telling. You got away from that. You know, they were upset about it. So I promised them that as I move forward, I'm going to do more and more about getting some of my own stories into the actual storyline of the show. Mm-hmm. Which I have actually featured. I just started season four, started Friday. I started off with a gentleman named Jeff Allen. He's a pretty well-known comedian. He's featured on Dry Bar Comedy and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've heard him. He's funny.
Yeah, I tell you, my Jeff Allen episode, I'm not bragging, but that Jeff Allen episode was amazing. We talked about funny, we talked about family, we talked about faith, and it was just an inspiring. To hear that guy tell his story was just absolutely inspiring. But that's the kind of stuff, I'm all over the place when it comes to material. I don't want to get nailed down to just one thing. But I did make a conscious effort to get at least a couple of my personal stories into this season. And that's my goal. I'm gonna put at least two or three or four of my own personal stories into each season going forward. I'm a little different than a lot of folks. I don't know how you do yours. I had a young lady that had not long been in the podcasting business. She'd only been doing it for about 3 weeks, and she saw something I posted on social media, so she reached out to me, and we got kind of corresponded back and forth, and she said, how do you determine when you want to start and stop a season? And I said, well, I said, I'm gonna tell you exactly how. I said, I was a kid that grew up on television. I was raised on TV, okay? Nothing against my parents, and parents loved me, but the television was a perfect babysitter. And I noticed in television that they have a very strict and stringent scheduling system. They run about 24 episodes. Well, that's what I did. I ran 24 episodes. And at the end of 24 episodes, I switch and I go to a different season. And I have season premieres and I have season finales. And I try to tie themes together. I do all kind of crazy stuff that I saw that I thought would work, or I think will work, or maybe still will work. I don't know. But like you'll see me around Easter. You're going to see me. I'm going to theme some religious themed episodes together. And around Halloween, I'll try to theme some horror, you know, some suspense or stuff like that together. I mean, I see things that have worked in other areas, and it's just a constant experiment for me, I guess. And that's just where I'm at right now.
Nice. You know, going back to what you said before about when you make a mistake, if you learn from it, then it's not really a mistake. It's information, you know, that's right. Something that we are trying really, really hard to instill in our girls. We got four girls and they're at that age where it's like, okay, they can take instruction and think critically and stuff. Like, I don't ever want you girls to be afraid to try something, you know, like, hey, I'm going to try this hobby, or I'm going to step out and I'm going to take a risk and go this direction or whatever. It's like, just keep your head on a swivel. And if you make a mistake, learn from it, you know? And it works well, because I think so much we're afraid to try things. We're afraid of failure because, oh, failure sucks. And it's like, well, yeah, if you go into it with that mindset, it will. But if you go into it with the idea of, you know, I'm either going to win or I'm going to learn. You know, I'm either going to succeed or I'm going to learn something that I didn't know before, which is still a win. That is a really useful piece of wisdom that you shared. And I know you slipped it in there, but that's a big thing.
I'm a slipper. I'll slip stuff in on me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, my deal is I was raised that way. I was raised that the only way you're ever going to find out if something works is you have to try it. You've got to try it. I've had coaches and my parents have instilled that in me. If you don't, if we took the mindset that if I'm scared to try it because I'm going to fail, if the people that came before us would have had that mentality, I mean, as screwed up as the country is right now, can you imagine what kind of shape it'd be in if those people wouldn't have tried?
Yeah. So,
I mean, that's how I feel like I'm just continuing the legacy of those that were not afraid to be a difference maker.
Yeah. You are. And there's people that need to have, I guess, ice water in their veins and steel in their spines to step out and try that sort of stuff and just calmly assess the situation and be like, we'll see what happens, you know? Whatever happens, happens, and we'll adapt. You know what? You've inspired me this episode, and I have been looking for additional podcasts to create. So I'm getting more efficient at it, but I really think that having an episode like this and just a whole podcast of share a story, you know, like what's a life lesson that just lives in your head rent-free, you know, that you right. learned earlier in life, right? And I mean, that's the kind of wisdom that we need to have you on another show, man, is what I'm trying to say, if you're open to that.
I am absolutely, listen, if you hadn't figured out by now, I don't have a problem. I'm that kid that used to would never speak, and now I'm that grown-up that won't shut up, so.
Well, you flourished into an adult, right? You're adulting.
I finally figured out this adulting process. You are correct, sir.
There we go, man. Well, listen, I want to thank you for your time today. And you're a very rich heritage guy. And I know we're not even scratching the surface. I know you've got a lot of experience, and I want to find out more about you. But in the meantime, until we get that next episode, if people were to reach out and say, you know, how would I find William's podcast, or how would they contact you to get to know you? Like, do you have, man.
Yeah. Of course, the name of the podcast is World of Wally. And yes, that is conceded. But there's a reason for that. First of all, it's all about name recognition and branding. Wally, of course, is my last name. And then I wanted to bring the world, or my concept of the world is, to others that don't get that opportunity to go out and see the world. That's why I'm trying to be so variety driven in my content.
Right.
They can find me on Facebook. I have a Facebook page, World of Wally, easy to search. They can look me up on my personal Facebook account. It's William Wally. I'll be the really good looking, bald-headed white guy, looks like Bruce Willis on Prozac. I'll be easy to spot. And then I'm on Instagram, World of Wally _official. I also want to give a quick shout out to a couple of folks that have been instrumental kind of in my podcast development. A gentleman that I've just recently entered into an agreement with to use his recording facility, Mr. Timothy O. Davis. You can find his stuff at Timothy O. Davis. /Ridgewood Recording Studios. And then Mr. Steve Joyner, which is a publicist I ran into through social media that was based on the West Coast. He now lives in the Midwest. And like I said, he's part of something called the SJ Network. I'm one of the featured podcasts on that network. So if you listen to my stuff and like it, there's a huge variety of podcasters on that network. And you can find that at s-j-network.com. And then if you want to go straight to the feature podcast, it's just /featured podcast. And
nice.
Hey, guys, especially for those that stumble across this episode that aren't regulars, check out Hot Mike. This guy's amazing.
I appreciate it, man. Well, listen, you are somebody that I never want to be too busy to keep up with. You made the cut. Yeah. So I really appreciate that. And I mean that too. Well, I've never had somebody that looks like Bruce Willis in my personal network before. So that's going to be new for me.
Don't hate on my man.
Well, now I got to go track you down on Facebook. And I'm like, I got to see what this guy looks like, because I'm curious. I want to see how accurate it is. Does he actually look like Bruce Willis, or is he just putting on airs? But
oh, man.
Well, hey, I, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. You're good, man.
I was going to say.
I don't want to give Bruce Willis too much credit.
Oh, man. So you're saying you couldn't be a stunt double? Is it?
I tell you what, I would be open to that idea.
If he approached you to be like, yeah, that'll work.
I'm a little too thick for it. Remember, I told you I'm deep fried and double wide. So.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I love you, brother. And I think we got a lot of cool stuff to talk about in the coming weeks and months. But for now, let's get back to the rest of your day, man. And like I said, I don't ever want to be too busy. Okay. You know where to find me. I think we've got some common things as far as ideology, mentality, and even faith. So look for an email from me.
Man. Yeah. I'd love to sit down with you. We'll put a whole series together, man. What you talking about?
That'd be cool, man. I would love that. Well, listen, it's been awesome talking with you, and I will get this aired shortly. And I think there's going to be a lot more storytelling that we can do in the future. All right.
Sounds like a winner, man. Appreciate
right,
man. It,
Mike. Anytime, sir. Yep, take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast? Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on. And also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at Arch DevOps.